Well, that's actually an old 45 that I found someone had copied, and it was on the net. So I just thought I should play you that. Playing the role of Bob Hawke, there was Paul Jennings, and the lady was Marie Ann Cooman. The Bob Hawke drinking song. I don't think it's in the top 40 any longer. Anyway, the names Bob Hawke and Derek Riley are an unlikely coupling, but Derek, a surf magazine proprietor and sometime Fairfax columnist, persuaded Bob's wife, Blanche Dalpuget, herself a Hawke biographer, and then he persuaded Bob himself to allow him to visit weekly to write the latest chapter on our oldest living and arguably most popular PM. And it is a great read, I have to tell you. I spoke to Derek Riley, author of Wednesdays with Bob. Well, I've got a terrific book in front of me. It's going to be terrific holiday reading for me. It's called Wednesdays with Bob by Bob Hawke and Derek Riley. And I've got Derek on the line. G'day, Derek.
G'day, Graham. How's it going?
All right. Those two names wouldn't necessarily have been seen together, or wouldn't have maybe been in people's minds when they thought about a new book on the former PM.
No, it has become quite an unlikely coupling.
It has. Wednesdays with Bob. You've stolen the title, clearly.
I have stolen the title.
Misappropriated another title. Yeah? Tuesdays with Murray.
Tuesdays with Murray, yeah. I actually never read that book, but I knew it was a fabulous bestseller, so I thought if I could do a version like that with Bob Hawke, ooh-wee, could sell millions.
But you didn't think the photo of him on the cover would work, mate?
No,
it's a beautiful photo on the cover of Bob looking a little bit more lined than we may have seen him, but still that fabulous shock of silver hair, and he's munching on a cigar, Churchillian, almost, I'd say. You like the photo, don't you?
I love the photo, and there's actually a photo in the book where he's looking down, and it wasn't as commercial as one on the cover, but it's...
I know the one you mean. There's one in the fly
looks like,
leaf.
Robert De Niro.
He does, actually. Yeah, it's great. And look, I must say, I haven't read the whole book. I didn't want to sort of quickly digest it. I thought it might turn out like a sardine sandwich and I'd be repeating it all night. But I've read a number of chapters and I've read your intro. I was going to ask you how it came to be that you and Bob worked together on this project, I imagine his former biographer, which is his live-in love, Blanche Dalpuget, I would have imagined she'd have something to say. I know in the book you mention it, but maybe just for our listeners, what's the quick version of how you came to get the gig?
Well, I had a literary agent who wanted me to write something, and she asked if I had any ideas, and I said, oh, how about a Bob Hawke book? She goes, I love Bob Hawke. The publisher loves Bob Hawke. Give me a pitch.
Right.
I gave her a pitch, and then she liked the pitch, and she said, we'll throw it over to Blanche over lunch. So we had lunch with Blanche, and she seemed to like it, and then she told Bob. He seemed to like it, and the following Wednesday, I was outside his front door with a bag full of recording devices.
Yeah, I love the fact that you took three because you didn't trust them.
I know.
Trust the recording devices,
I
mean.
I trusted the horse.
Yeah, yeah. Now, what had you written prior to that, Derek? I know you've been an editor of a website, and there's a magazine called Stab. Well, I don't know. What's all that about?
I had a weekly column for Fairfax Papers for 5 years. So I wrote 210 columns just about anything from abortion to Tony Abbott to house husbandry. And but my background is surfing magazines. I started a magazine in Europe called Surf Europe, started one in Australia called Stab, and now I've got a surfing website called BeachGrit.com.
Yep.
And so that's my background.
Mm. You do have a terrific... You've got a terrific way with words, I've got to tell you. And this
very,
book...
Very, very kind.
No, it's true. This book grabs you right from the very start. You tell a story of how Bob had to break off a conversation with you because, mate, I've just got to have a leak. And, of course, this is how your relationship with Bob starts. We won't go into what he then does, but it is a good read. And I don't know, were we ready for another book on Bob, do you think? There's been a few, including some by Blanche, but do you think it was time?
It was funny because when I did go around there that first day, Bob just looked at me and goes, mate, I don't know what you're going to write about. And when I spoke to his old friend, Cole Cunningham, he sort of looks at me and goes, mate, it's a Herculean task for another stupid book about Bob Hawke.
Right.
And, but, you know, I think that Blanche's book, Robert J. Hawke, was the book that, you know, showed the Labor Party that he had the heft to, you know, to be the leader. And I think this book neatly sort of bookends his career.
Right.
Because it's looking, you know, looking back at his career and his life and has other significant figures talking about him. I think it's a neat kind of, you know, legacy package.
Well, I know you ask him to right at the end of the book, you're having a conversation with him about his funeral, and he doesn't want to engage in it. Pretty clear he's focused on life, not death, even though he's certainly aging, isn't he?
Well, he's going to turn 88 on Saturday week.
Yep.
And he's a man of nearly 90. I was actually around there yesterday, but he's lives life as if he was 30 years old.
Yeah. Oh, look.
All wrapped up in Blanche and putting his head against their old buzzies.
He's a classic. How does he see it?
I think he was a little bit bewildered at the whole process, going, who's this guy coming to write this? Interview me every week about apartheid and China and so on.
How many weeks did you spend with him?
I think I saw him 14 times, maybe. 12,
okay.
14 times.
And
it
he's obviously
up, you know, losing count.
He's obviously read it.
Yeah, and
what's he say?
A mark of his character that he read it. And he read it at the manuscript stage, and, you know, I was very worried that he wanted to chop out all the good stuff. But he didn't change a damn thing. Just said,
right?
Mate, you got this date wrong or this wrong. But
right.
he even some of the sillier things he did, but that's the thing about Hawke, he's very candid and he doesn't hide anything.
Well, I mean, obviously, he, you know, he is a character. I think that's part of why he's such a lovable character. I mean, I have, I was a journo in Canberra. Before his prime ministership, I was there for Whitlam and Fraser. But I then had to ring Hawke every Saturday. I was on the Melbourne Herald. I had to ring him and try to get a story out of him. Well, some Saturdays he wasn't home, and Hazel would say, "Nah, he's in Sydney." And I'd ring Sydney, and he'd be in a hotel. I was unwittingly in the middle of all this. And some days he wanted to talk, and some days he didn't. But virtually, he could have the front page of the Melbourne Herald on a Saturday, and it was a pretty important newspaper in those days.
Yeah.
But, you know, times have changed. We shouldn't dwell on the past, Derek. But I think he is
okay,
the most...
It's very exciting. It's terribly interesting.
He's a most loved character, though, isn't he?
Yeah, and he's a lovely man. And the great thing about Hawke is he loves people. It doesn't matter who you bring around to his house. He'll act as if, you know, he's known him forever and shower them with love.
You take a few tattooed mates around, did you?
Yeah, yeah. I had a couple of people around. A friend of mine shot the cover and various things, but he's always very, very kind.
Yeah, and look, I guess I should explain to people that you interview a number of his friends, colleagues, you know, lifelong associates in the union movement and in the political world. He's as sharp as a tack, but I guess his friends also bring him into pretty close focus, don't they?
Yeah, I think that was some of the better parts of the book. You know, someone like John Singleton describing the night before he was robbed by Keating in 91.
Yeah.
And having John Faulkner call him up to tell Hawke that he's going to get rolled and Hawke's not believing him.
Yeah, those things, they're always difficult conversations. Interestingly, now I wonder whether Bob said this, when you, in the front of the book, refer to John Howard, and you've got a little quote in there from Howard, says, in the end, nobody has popularity that lasts forever. It is one of the great ironies of politics. John Howard, foe turned friend. Does Hawke say he's a friend?
Yeah, he likes him. He really enjoys his company.
Right. Now, I noticed the one person you didn't manage to get to contribute to the book is Paul Keating.
Yes, Paul wasn't interested at all in contributing to my book.
I mean, you don't know why, you just imagine, can you?
That was the message I got from his secretary, was Mr. Keating has no intention of contributing to your book.
Yeah,
and then but he did in the end, because when I asked him about specific issues such as the he was responsible for the famous Antarctic Treaty that locked up Antarctica for 50 years from mining.
Yep.
Mr. Keating sent me PDFs, these elaborate PDFs with bits highlighted, little notes all over them.
It's all about how they want to be remembered, isn't it?
Yes, everyone likes to be remembered well.
Yeah, Hawke did sound reasonably mellow about Paul Keating. He talks about He wouldn't acknowledge he loved the guy, but he did talk about respect.
Yeah, it's funny. I had to really push him to get any sort of quotes about it. He just didn't want to talk about Kurt. He just goes, mate. Just looks at him, just goes, mate. Yeah. Do you really have to?
Yeah, I can imagine that look too, and the eyebrow would have gone up.
Yeah, and it's funny because the I think the pull quote in the Australian the other weekend was Paul's such a hater, and it sounded like, you know, Hawke was firing a broadside at Keating, but it wasn't like that at all in the telling. He just goes, oh, mate, you know what I say, you know, but Keating says this and this and this. You go, oh, you know, Paul's just a hater, you know, don't worry about it. But it was interesting to see it in, as a headline.
It's unfortunate. You know, that's an example of clickbait, in my opinion, Derek.
We all live and die by the click.
But I mean, does the headline support the story, or does the story have to support the headline?
True.
You know, there's a bit too much of that. So there's a dual byline on the book. So do I take it that Bob feels like he co-authored this with you? What happened in the end?
No, that was actually my agent's idea, because she thought it would help the book sell even better.
Right. And they were happy with that?
Hook didn't write anything.
Oh, well, only via his mouth.
Yeah. His mouth was the tool he used. He used keystrokes.
He's pretty good at that.
He is.
And when he was sick of the yak for the afternoon, he'd sort of tell you he knew your way out, would he?
Well, in the very last interview he said that. But generally when we'd be having our conversation, I could see the cigar getting down towards the stub. And he would start to waver a little bit. And, you know, I'm thrilled to be there. I had no intention of overstaying my welcome, and he'd just totally start to gradually shut down, you know, just, like the electricity is just going out. He just wanted to, you know, sit there in the sun and do his Sudokus and crosswords.
Did anything he said surprise you? Were you genuinely surprised about anything that he came out with?
I think the things I was surprised about were how good he is at telling jokes. You know, telling jokes is a great skill, and it's easy to blow it. And when you're nearly 90 years old, it's even easier to blow it. And he'll tell these elaborate jokes, but he never muffs it up.
Oh, he's clearly still as sharp as a pin.
He is.
Now, what was Blanche's response to the final product? What did she say to you? Because you clearly admired the book she'd written, and maybe it was a bit foreboding to turn up, to front up to her and say you want to be the next person to write about her husband.
I mean, yeah, if you read Robert J. Hawke, it's a masterwork. And and also, you know, her fiction stuff and her essays on lust and longing and affairs and everything, they're marvellous. But she actually said that she was surprised by the finished product, that she thought it might have been a bit of a dud, but it worked out all right.
Oh, look, I think it hangs together very well. And I think you've done a good job in getting these other guys to talk about him. You know, Singo and people like that, Gareth Evans. I mean, they're all sort of characters through the political life that we've had over the past, half a dozen decades, virtually, 60 years or so. The publishers are obviously pleased with it. It's available now?
Yeah, it came out yesterday, and you know, obviously been out of bookstores to get photos of my face next to it. Yep. And, they've unpacked the books, and they're all in the big stands.
So pretty exciting time for...
Oh, God, it's so exciting. On the Today Show on ABC.
Yeah, well,
that's
great.
Very, very exciting.
Well, I'm glad that you'll come and talk to the average on Travel Writers Radio. And
I'm so thrilled. Interested.
We appreciate that you took the time to talk to us, Derek, and I wish you well. I don't think I need to. I reckon this book's going to go off like a Chinese New Year. or maybe like a North Korean one. And you know what I was interested in is you've actually captured the Trump story in there, and Bob's actually sort of semi-positive about what sort of president Trump might ultimately make, despite having initial misgivings.
Well, yeah, when I really wanted to interview Bob immediately after the election, I think it would have got a slightly different response. But 2 weeks had passed. So by the time I got to him, I think he'd kind of worked it out in his head that it wasn't the end of the world and the best thing people could do was to reach out to Trump. But before that, he was just going, "Gah, the guy's mad, he's a maniac."
Well, I mean, he was certainly supporting Hillary. He'd written to her, hadn't he, and spoken to
her.
Yeah,
he had, yeah. I think he was very unimpressed by Hillary's campaign.
Yeah, well, that's not hard.
We did speak about that after the event.
Yeah, and was there much off the record?
Not really. No, that's the thing about Hawke. I mean, there was one really good story on our first meeting that he told about a significant person in Australian politics, and I think that was going to happen. And it was totally off the record, but But generally, whatever he says is always on the record.
Mm. And he, I mean, he knows the game.
He knows the game too.
But he obviously trusted you with this chronicle of his life after. Well, it's not even after politics, is it? It's out of the public eye a little bit, but he's still very interested in politics.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yesterday, I had to go there for something, and he had spent the whole afternoon, I think, shooting a video for Christina Keneally's campaign in Bennelong.
Really?
So he still has that appeal. They always know they can wheel out Hawkey and get a few more votes.
Yeah, yeah. So what have you got any other projects in the wind, Derek?
Yeah, I'm actually working with a TV builder guy called Barry Dubois.
Oh, yeah, I know him. He's not well, isn't he? Is he not well?
Yeah, he's got a cancer that's just come back.
Yeah.
And so we're doing this book, and it's part memoir and part health book about dealing with cancer and preparing yourself for the ride of your life, the battle of your life.
Yeah. Oh, well, that sounds interesting. Why don't you come back and talk to us about that when you've completed the task?
Oh, I'd love to.
Hopefully it's a happy ending.
Yeah, I hope so too.
Yeah.
I'm sure it will be. He's a very, very strong man and very strong-willed.
Indeed. Well, Derek Riley, thank you so much for your time. Thanks for being on Travel Writers Radio. And as I say, I'm sure your book will be a fabulous hit, and I intend to read the rest of it. I've had a good chuckle, I can tell you. It's a good read, and not just for baby boomers like me, who have had to interview Bob over the years. It's a good read, and I recommend it. Wednesdays with Bob by Bob Hawke and Derek Riley. Thanks again.
Yeah, thank you very much.
That was Derek Riley, author of Wednesdays with Bob, published by Pan Macmillan, and a great, if slightly irreverent, holiday read about our oldest living PM, I can assure you. You're listening to the Travel Writers Show on JAIR 87.8 FM.